This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nigel, how and why did Rent-A-Pot start out in 1982? That's what, 35 years ago?
Well, the company was started by my dad at the time. From what I understand, the plant rental industry was sort of a blue ocean at that point. There was no real professional plant rental service. So a lot of people were going to nurseries and buying plants themselves and getting people to maintain it for them. So my dad saw this as an opportunity to provide a fully packaged service at an affordable price. And also at that time, Dr. Marte came into power, and there was a lot of economic growth and development going on in the country, and my dad sort of anticipated the need for this service, and that's why he started the business. So he sort of gained like a first mover advantage.
Now, you and your twin brother, Neil, you guys took over the business when?
Just about a year ago, slightly more than that.
All right. What sort of demand did you see for these services as you were working with your dad?
Well, we realized that there are a lot of officers that, you know, there were people who, they had their own plants, but they used to die, and then they would have to go to Sungai Buloh and buy the plants again, and then there's a hassle of transporting them. So we make it much easier for them. We just go there once a week, water, trim. If the plant needs to be changed, we change it. If not, we leave it there.
I can understand that because I'm useless with plants. Everything I plant just dies. What kind of orders do you get mostly? What is the price range for these different type of services that you offer?
Okay, so we have two segments of the business, plant rental and landscaping. So generally, we get more plant rental inquiries. And we also get the seasonal inquiries for events, for example, Hari Raya, Christmas. So recently, we did a lot of events for Hari Raya purposes.
Now, Nigel, most of these plants are sourced locally from, you were saying, from Sungai Buloh. Do you have your own nurseries?
Yes, we do have our own nursery, but that's more for rotational purposes. So those plants that go into offices that need to be replaced, they come back to our nursery, we'll revive them, and then we send them out again. But when we have projects for landscaping, normally we buy the plants outright and get it sent straight to the site.
Give me a sense of large projects that require such landscaping that you do.
Landscaping for hotels, factories, new apartment blocks, stuff like that.
Take us through some of the types of services that you offer. I mean, obviously, it's not just supplying plants, but you mentioned something about taking care of them. How do you go about doing that?
So, if you sign up with us, our staff will go to your office or wherever it is, offices, restaurants, retail outlets, and we will do the maintenance. If the plant dies, we take it out, bring it back, we revive it, and then we just swap it with another plant that's in good condition.
How labor-intensive is it?
Okay, for the landscaping part, it's quite labor-intensive. We could get, you know, for a house, maybe up to 10 workers working at one particular time.
Yeah.
For plant rental, generally, it's only two people, one driver and someone else to help him. So the driver is the supervisor, and we send a boy with him, and they will water and, yeah.
So for these sort of landscaping projects, you obviously have to consult your clients. What sort of process do you go through to discuss with your clients for plants like these?
Okay, once the client engages with us, we would normally go and meet them at the site, preferably, and we will get an idea of what we can do with the space, as well as the kind of lifestyle they live. So we will design a landscape based on their personality and their taste. We come up with visuals so they can, you know, they can imagine how it looked like. And once they're okay with it, we begin implementation.
Back to you, Nigel. When you guys took over the company a couple of years ago, what sort of challenges did you face, or was everything just laid out for you?
Actually, Dad sold the business about 10 years ago. And just last year, we regained control over it. So when both of us joined the business, it was still in the startup phase, in the transitional phase. So it was a good learning curve for us. There's still a lot to learn. I mean, my dad has 35 years of experience, so he's been our mentor, guiding us through this process of learning the landscaping business and stuff like that.
How do you convince clients that landscaping is something they need?
Well, a lot of people actually don't want to spend on the landscape, but they don't realize how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
First impression is always important. 90% of home buyers make a decision based on their first impression. So the first thing you see when you enter a house is actually the garden. So it's very important to have a well-kept lawn, well-manicured, and it's very important to have a concept, a coherent plan, rather than having a really messy landscape which will not add value to the house. And if someone sees that the landscape is well-kept, they're going to immediately assume that the rest of the house is in good condition.
So, Neil, obviously you don't chuck plants all over the place because, I mean, it's just going to look messy,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
What are some of the tips that you would have for home buyers or potential home buyers if they are looking for a place to invest in?
Okay, so basically you have to have a concept first. So the most popular one recently has been the Balinese concept,
mm-hmm.
where we create a very jungle kind of feel, but like an organized jungle with a lot of tropical plants and, you know, a small walkway with some slabs and stones. And, you know, you get a lot of people now wanting to have water features in front of their patios so they can have a nice cup of coffee in the evening.
Where do you guys see this sector going in the next few years or so?
Well, this sector is definitely growing with more buildings and businesses moving towards a more sustainable and green outlook.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a growing need for our service. So we're definitely looking at expanding. Don't know if we're going to do it by licensing or internally, but we're looking into it and hoping to implement it within the next few years.
When you guys talk about expanding your services to other areas, what are we looking at? What are your plans like?
There are no fixed plans yet,
mm-hmm.
But we're looking at states like Penang and Johor where it's coming up. There's a lot of new buildings coming up, so there'll be a good place for us to put our plants. You know, our aim is to get our plants in as many buildings in Malaysia as possible.
In terms of competitors, what's competition like in the market for landscaping?
Competition is... Okay, for the landscaping, there is a lot of competition.
Right.
Plant rental, there are competition, but we have placed a lot of emphasis on our branding. I think our branding has been good over the years, and we have kept to our brand promise. So this provides us with a lot of credibility and some sort of assurance to our clients that we are going to keep to that promise.
I'm speaking with Neil and Nigel Edwin from Rent-A-Pot Landscape. In a moment, we'll discuss how having the right landscaping concept can enhance your property's value. BFM 89.9. I'm speaking with Neil and Nigel Edwin from Rent-A-Pot Landscape on The Property Show on BFM 89.9. All right, Neil. With the rise in popularity for green spaces, you know, we've got rooftop gardens, green walls nowadays. How have you seen this demand from both the private, from both your private and commercial clients? How has this been evolving over the years?
Okay, with regards to private clients, it's remained pretty stable over the years. When talking about commercially, recently we've been getting more inquiries because now buildings have to comply to the Green Building Index rating,
right.
And they have to achieve a certain rating for the building to be approved. So this includes things like having green walls, sufficient potted plants around, as well as water harvesting. So that has really helped us. We can help these buildings achieve that rating that they need to.
How do you go about doing this in terms of complying with this Green Building Index type requirements?
So we'll propose, you know, we'll look at the space first and see wherever we can put greenery that will complement the building. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to chuck greenery everywhere, right? So recently we've done a lot of green walls for buildings. It helps improve the circulation of air. It acts as an acoustic insulator. So even libraries, they tend to use green walls,
right,
to insulate the sound.
Now, Nigel, can you give us some examples of some of the larger projects that you guys have done?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say projects, but companies in general and places. We have serviced the Prime Minister's office.
Mm-hmm.
We also handle the Formula One race since it started in 1999.
But that's ending soon.
Yeah, this is the last year, unfortunately. But hopefully you get to work with them in the future, if not in Malaysia, in other countries. Because we have quite a good connection with them.
There is a possibility of you going overseas then.
Yes, there is.
Now, there are studies that suggest a well-maintained garden can increase your home value by up to 15%. What are your thoughts on this?
I think this is very true. The garden is the first thing buyers will look at when they enter your house. So it's really important to create a good first impression.
Right.
90% of the buyers tend to make their decisions based on their first impression. So when they walk into a house, they see the lawn, it's well manicured, there's a good concept. Immediately, they're going to assume that the rest of the house is well taken care of as well. And also, think about it. You plant a tree today, it's going to grow. And right. as it grows, the value of that tree grows as well.
Now, when you talk about having a certain concept for a house that attracts people, what is the most basic thing that people look at that is very general and very universal, Neil?
Generally, people just want very nice trimmed hedges, very clean cut, and just neat. Just having the plants look neat is good. It's good enough for them.
Now, based on the fact that it does create a sense of increase in value for properties, what sort of responses have you seen from, say, you know, developers and generally investors who are proactively looking to engage services like yours?
There's definitely been an increase of demand from developers and investors because they have realized how landscaping has played a role in increasing the value. So developers have, in fact, they made it easy for us landscapers by already providing the structure to landscape, for example, a rooftop garden or a balcony. So they've put in planters, or if they want to make it more personalized to the customer that's buying the unit, they will introduce us to the customer, and we will get an idea of what they want, and we help us create a more personalized garden according to their taste.
You talked about rooftop gardens. Is that a popular thing nowadays here?
Yes, very popular nowadays because a lot of buildings are coming up. Space is limited.
Yes.
So the only place you can have the garden is your rooftop or balcony.
And we're talking about residential or commercial spaces?
Both.
Both of them.
Yeah, both.
Do you see the same returns for greenery in office spaces, in commercial places?
Well, although the greenery doesn't directly affect the operations of a particular business or retail space, but it does contribute in the sense that the plants purify the air.
Right.
And it creates a better work ambience. It makes it more conducive for working. Mm-hmm. A study by NASA actually shows that having plants in a workspace has led to greater productivity.
Yeah. Is that the demand... Is the demand more for plant rental or for more complex projects like rooftop gardens or interior green walls, for example? What are the differences like?
I would say plant rental definitely has the highest demand compared to the others because it's the most easiest, most straightforward way of getting plants into a building. If you talk about, you know, rooftop gardens, it can be quite complex and it could take time. And it's more of a one-off thing. So we do it one time and then that's it. Whereas plant rental, there's constant demand for it. We put in the plant today, we'll continue servicing it for at least a year or more years to come. We've had customers with us since day one, 35 years ago.
It's a great chance for repeat business and to keep the place looking fresh, I suppose.
That's right.
Now, in an economic climate like ours currently, what sort of tips do you have for people who are trying to increase the value of their property, say by using plants?
Yeah, I think the most important is to get your home to stand out among other homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do simple stuff like maybe get a new paint job, change your front gate, re-ram the garden, make it look neat, or introduce a concept if there was no concept before, stuff like that. And then making sure that, you know, all the cracks are filled and your plumbing and wiring, they're all done well, because no one's going to want to move into a new house with all these problems. It's the same thing when you're selling a car.
Mm-hmm.
you will definitely go and get a detail or touch up the paint. It's the same for houses.
In a way, it's quite cosmetic. What you're suggesting, but you know, by doing things like renovating your house, a new paint job, building building a new wall or building a new gate, that would incur quite a bit of cost. Plant rentals, would that be how would that work?
Normally, we don't do plant rentals for houses due to privacy issues because we'll need our staff to go over once a week. But we do have a maintenance service. So let's say you already have a garden, you can engage with us to come in and maintain it.
Now, one of the main concerns about maintaining greenery is, you know, all that effort and the cost that you have to invest in the long term. What are your thoughts on that?
I guess it's very subjective because, okay, normally people would tell us what they want and we would find out if they want something easy maintenance or something lavish. So if it's easy maintenance, you know, there's not so much effort that needs to be put into it. But if you've got a lavish garden, I guess just like driving a lavish car, if the nicer your garden, probably the more you'd have to spend to maintain it. But then again, you get some people who enjoy gardening and they are more than happy to do it themselves. And it takes the cost out of it.
Nigel, Edwin and Neil Edwin, thank you very much for coming in to chat with us and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.